This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. Standing 6'2", 288 pounds, only mentioning it because he dropped 12 pounds in quarantine. It's Johnny G. All you gotta do is trust me. That's from the Lady Gaga movie. I don't know why I still say it in my intro. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. The door is shut because I got the air conditioner running. Because the air conditioner is running because this show is hot. Because this show is got hot guests. We got the Culture Kings in the house. We're talking about Jacques Neal and Edgar Montplaisir. Oh, I fucking stuttered over the name. Montplaisir. Damn it, I was so confident in the pronunciation of your last name, and I came in too hot.
Damn. I can say without a shadow of a doubt, this is the first time in 4 weeks a white man has yelled at me. And you know, I got used to not being yelled at, but I'm okay with it.
And to be clear, we've done shit that's... we should 100% been yelled at for, like, not even like shit that we weren't at fault for. Like, I've 100% stepped on a white person's shoes while he was wearing flip flops, and he's just like, "Hey man, thank you."
Thanks, man. I'm gonna donate to Ground Game. Like, what?
Yeah.
Oh man.
I'm so pumped you guys could do this. Jacques, you got to get fucked up with me in Chicago on the episode, but I've been meaning to get you guys both on it for a while now. And we're recording in Black History Month. I know February is supposed to be Black History Month, but I think June 2020 for a lot of white people is the ultimate Black History Month. It's the most. We've learned a shit ton about Black history this month. I mean, we meaning naive white people.
No. I want to make something very clear because I feel like a lot of white people are being like, yo, I didn't know about this Juneteenth shit. Nigga, neither did I. Like, I didn't know anything about it either. Like, they don't teach us this shit in schools. Yeah. And I went to school in Texas. So, like, I feel like that just shows you how much that we're not learning any of this stuff in school. It wasn't until Blackish did an episode about it that I was like, oh, okay.
I just fucking heard or found out that George Washington's teeth weren't wood. That nigga had slave teeth. Oh, and then when I thought about it, I was like, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Who the fuck got wooden teeth? Like, I finally, like, common sense hit my brain. It was like, what the fuck are wooden teeth? And why would George Washington be the only nigga in history to ever have it? Of course he had slave teeth.
And then why would teachers go out of the way to tell us that anyway, unless it was a cover story for something way more fucked up?
Absolutely.
Like people who are like, oh, yeah, that night got crazy. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. Something even worse happened. Then you're just telling us, like, the mini deal. Like, yeah, his teeth were wood. Absolutely. And you're like, yeah, that's fucked up. And the teachers are like, no follow-ups.
And think about all the shit that we know about George Washington. We know about how he cut down a tree when he was a kid. Like, I don't know that about anybody else.
I couldn't even tell you if my mom, like, cut down a tree. Like, I'm pretty sure she hasn't, but if she came in here today and was like, yeah, I did cut down a tree, I would be surprised.
But for some reason, my entire life since I was very young, have known that George Washington cut down a tree.
I wouldn't know if my dad cut down a tree, but if he had slaves' teeth, I would fucking have known that shit. I would have been like, bro, where did you get those? And he would have been like, it's not cool to say. I'm like, what? Bro. Why are you telling me this story about a tree from your childhood? Talk about these big-ass fucking teeth that aren't yours in your mouth.
Right. So these different size, different color teeth that you got with nerve endings still on them.
y'all were too old for this show, but do y'all remember Liberty's Kids? Y'all were definitely too old for that.
I barely remember it. See, it's weird because, like, I'm in the middle of you and Gabrus. Like, I'll, like, know shit that from Gabrus's tail end, and I'll know shit from, like, your tail beginning.
Yeah. Nah, it's true because, like, I mean, I always feel gaslit because, like, Anna will always tell me that shit that I remember so fondly wasn't my age. Like, I remember watching Zoe 101, and I remember everyone around me watching Zoe 101, and Anna's always just like, that was for babies. I'm like, we're only a year apart. Like, why? What is that? So either you're lying, or I was fucking watching baby shit my whole life.
Wait, do you have an older sibling or a younger sibling? I know you have a brother, right?
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest.
Out of three.
I'm the oldest of three, too, and I think that also skews a little bit because you don't necessarily have full choice on the TV.
That is true. Yeah. That is true.
And then also that shit is skewed. I think I'm older than both of you guys, and when you in the fucking early 90s, late 80s, whatever was on TV, you just watched. Like, I watched the Lucy show, and I watched I Love Lucy. It was boring as fuck to me, but I was just so pumped that TV was on. I didn't have to talk to my parents or anything. Yeah.
No, I get that. I watched Mr. Ed.
I watched Mr. Ed, too. Mr. Ed was that shit. I watched the Dick Van Dyke Show. I watched Bewitched. I grew up watching Three's Company. I grew up watching all the white 50s through 70s shows for whatever reason, because they were on television.
You know what? I'll be honest. I watched the ones in the 90s and 2000s too. I watched Spin City. I watched Dharma and Greg. I watched Just Shoot Me.
I didn't watch those. That's when I was like, you know what? I don't like these. These don't have the same, you know, brightness and enthusiasm as Jack Tripper.
I watched all the shows you described. I watched all of them. And also like every show that was on in those years. Like, I watched the whitest shit. I watched fucking In Living Color, Martin, Living Single, and then I also watched Spin City, Dharma and Greg. I watched all the bad shit, all the good shit. I just needed anything to not fucking do schoolwork or play outside and shit.
Absolutely.
Yo, but can I, like, I was just talking to Jess about this recently, so I want to hear what y'all have to say about it. Like, when we were growing up, because even though we're in three different, like, age groups, we're in the same lump of age group. So when we were growing up, it felt like not only did we watch all the TV, not only did we play outside all the time, but we also had video games that we played all the time. And then we also did homework and played with friends. And where the fuck did we get all this damn time when we were shorties that we don't have now? I feel like, I mean, I know work is a part of it, but...
Well, I don't understand. I feel like kids don't even have the same amount of time that we had as kids. Cause I know what you're saying. Cause I was like, I was on sports teams. I went to school. I played outside. I went to camp. I watched TV. I watched movies. I played video games hours and hours and hours. And I still, and I think my answer is I didn't do a lot with my family cause they were like working like all the time. So
that's
answer is like, I think kids now like parents are like, oh, we should spend time with them and like go travel and like do an activity together. My entire family was just like, we're working this weekend. Figure your own shit out. Here's $40 for pizza Saturday and Sunday. You know, it's like,
right. Yeah. Right.
I think when women came into the workplace, I feel like companies were just like, oh shit, we got to figure out how to make sure that these parents can spend time with their kids. Like, that was never a problem before. Like, that was never like a thing that they had to think about because there was always one partner at the house. But then once two parents started making checks, then like they had to figure out all that shit. And that's why kids, I 100% agree. Kids don't have time anymore because their parents are in their fucking lives. My parents weren't in my life at all. And I had both parents and they still weren't in my life. Like, anytime a black kid's just like, at least you had a dad. It's like, I never saw that nigga anyways. He was always working.
My dad worked in TV and he worked nights, and then my mom was a nurse, so that means no Saturdays and Sundays, no holidays off. I'd have Christmases where I would be with my aunt in the morning and then my grandma at night. Like, we just my parents were working, so I felt like of course I would play 12 hours of Final Fantasy on fucking Nintendo, and I just had the time.
Yeah, it's wild, man. It's wild. I miss that shit. I miss being able to feel like you can do everything and still have time to yourself.
You mean you wish you could just live that guilt-free life? Like, you can still kind of do it now, but you...
Oh, so I feel guilty as shit.
Yeah. It piles
now,
on.
During Corona?
I know. It's still... I don't even have a day job. I don't even have shit to do. And I don't even... Like, my wife is working, so we're okay financially. We're not spending shit. I could do nothing and my body won't let me. I get like stressed about, I'm like, you don't even have shit to do. Like I've already done my closet. I've donated clothes. I've fucking done fundraisers. I'm doing like everything I can to keep my time busy. I'm like, won't let myself just watch all 10 episodes of Rick and Morty in one afternoon. Like I would have done when I was fucking 20.
Edgar, you still on a video game tip though. So I feel
yeah,
you.
Man, because I mean, I am working. So yesterday I fucking played, what's it called? Last of Us 2 from 8 a.m. to 2 in the morning last night. Like, I was like, fuck it. What do I have? Like, I'm going to work tomorrow to fucking, like, you know, talk about black issues for 8 hours. Like, I'm going to fucking play this video game. Like, and I love my job. I don't want to, but it's just like, fuck it. Like, I'll go play this game.
I'll tell you what, if I had a job where I was banging out hours, I would feel better about, like, all right, well, now I'm not working, so that means I could play. But I don't mm-hmm. have that, like, binary. Like, that's I'm true. Like, I should be that's just true. Working. And but also, I could... just if I let myself have a fucking break, I do fuck around. And that's the worst part is I fuck around for 6 hours in an afternoon, but I'm mad at myself rather than enjoying it. It's like, enjoying if you're going to do it anyway, yeah. just allow it, dude. It's like yeah. the shame you feel after you jerk off. It's like, you wanted to do this.
I don't know about that. Nah,
I know all about that, bro. Every time I come afterwards, I'm like, why did I do that? But it's like, I was having fun.
I know. Why'd I do that? Why
the only
I do
after
that?
Effect? The only after effect I have is like, damn, I gotta clean this shit up. That's the only shit I care about.
And that's because you didn't grow up. You see, I think Gabriel's. Did you grow up with Catholic parents?
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom was raised Catholic, and she 100% put that guilt on me where you feel dirty anytime you enjoy something. Like, yeah. anytime you I remember I would be eating food, and I'll be having a good time. My mom went, like, slow down. Why are you doing that? Let the food be in your belly. And I was like, what?
Bro.
I'm eating I feel a you. Meal.
I feel you. I didn't grow up with Catholic parents, but I did grow up with the grandma who... the Lord would speak through to us. So
say no more, yo.
So I think I know what you're talking about. As far as the guilt.
Say no more, bro.
Yeah, she would literally
the Lord,
be like,
the Lord told me last night, Jaquise, he don't like your girlfriend.
Bro, not even that. Not even the Lord told me. She would sit down and be like, all right, God about to talk now and talk to us as God.
what kind of shit would she try to slip to you as God? Was
bro, just, you know, at this point I was too young. I don't remember specifics anymore. Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
But just all time. I remember
was
she
trying to guide
meeting.
You in a certain way, or was she just trying to like spew
of
hate?
Course.
Like what was she doing? Because like we didn't have that kind of religion. My family was all like fake religious. You know, we had no one that we had like Italian grandmas who were like rosaries, holy water, mumbling Italian prayers to them, but no like projected. You know what part of it was too? Everyone in my family died mad young. So it's like I didn't have grandmas when I was 15. So I didn't have any like, I wasn't ever smart enough or developed enough to be like, you're a racist, not monster, or your religion is ruining your POV or anything like that. Because everyone just drank themselves to death.
I mean,
fun,
shit.
Sick generation, dude. Very fun generation.
Yeah, bro. It was wild. It was wild growing up in a very religious black household.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It was wild. It was wild.
But to answer your question, Gabriel, I'm doing okay.
Yes. You did answer. You did ask that 2 minutes ago. I'm doing great.
I'm all right. Doing great. I'm doing okay. I just came back from Florida. I'm all right.
Oh yeah, you were down there for spring break.
Yeah, I went down there for Florida for spring break, and let me tell you, baby, the bodies were out.
Ooh,
we just don't do spring break like how they do spring break. I'll tell you that. I forget how prevalent Chick-fil-A is in the South.
Yo, we were gonna talk about the NBA bubble.
Yes.
So I know nothing. I don't know much about basketball, but I looked up what this was to talk because I had seen people tweeting about it. I was like, this shit isn't really gonna happen, is it?
Oh, it's gonna happen. It's definitely gonna happen.
Yeah, bro, it's gonna happen, and I can't.
It's gonna
wait.
Happen.
I can't. You know the funny thing is when they still all catch COVID, because one nigga goes out the bubble to get some ass.
Well, because I heard people talking about this idea when they were talking about production of like. It's going to be like a out of town shoot, even if you're shooting in LA. Everyone's going to live together in a hotel and make sure to keep everyone quarantined together. I'm like, how is that going to work for millionaires? Millionaires aren't going to want to fucking live like it. You're going to be like, yeah, LeBron's staying at a fucking Ramada Inn in Florida. Like, he's not allowed to do whatever he wants. Fuck that, dude. That's not going to work for millionaires.
But here's what's crazy, Gabrus, is that they have a solution for that already, which is they're seeding their hotels as well. So, like, based off of your seeding in the actual league, it controls where you stay at in terms of hotels. So these niggas who are on, like, 8th seed, 9th seed teams are staying at trash-ass hotels. And the niggas who, like, you know, have the 1 and 2 seed are staying at these luxurious-ass hotels.
That's fucked up, bro.
Yo, that's like Hunger Games shit.
It's true.
Like, yo, if you win like 8 games in a row, they got to move like the Jazz out of a fucking hotel and you take over their rooms and shit.
That's so fucked up. That's
hilarious. See them all packing their bags and shit. It's like we got knocked out of the seat, dude. Our hotel doesn't even have a pool.
Yeah. Should have hit your free throws. Should have hit your free throws, Rudy.
The 1 and 2 seeds get like all inclusive fucking buy anything, you know, all food, all drinks. The 8th seed got to go to the vending machine at the Motel 8 to get some Doritos and shit.
And then you buy it, and then it is kind of slowly links off the thing, and you're like shaking it, be like, come on, I bought this, give me the bag.
And then the next person come and get two?
That shit would make me so mad when that would happen to me.
Oh, you're like, oh, the power forward blew out his ACL trying to kick a Twix out of a vending machine. He's not available for the playoffs. You're like, no. What a fucking nightmare.
Oh, yeah, the thing that blows my mind about it is the ring. Have y'all heard about the ring that they have?
COVID ring. Yes, the COVID ring.
Yes, but that's like people blew up about that because they were like, give that to everybody. But I feel like it was a Fitbit that would maybe help track the shit because it could take your body temperature and pulse.
I still want that game person.
I want everything, dude. I want all the fucking gadgets. I want to be hooked up to a machine that tells me everything. You like it's just beeping. Like, what is it beeping for? It's like, dude, you're fat. It's like, all right, I don't need a machine no more. I don't need no ring to tell me you're fat. It's like, how does the ring know it's unhealthy? I'm unhealthy. It's like, it doesn't fit anymore, bro.
Right. Your skin pulses on it and pushes it out. It's like, damn, we trying to bend. You need to lose weight, nigga.
Simple technology.
We notice you haven't taken the ring off yet. I think it might be stuck.
COVID ring, I would definitely wear that shit proudly, especially if I was like that 8th seed. It's the only ring you're going to get from the NBA this year.
Yeah, ever. For some niggas, ever in their career.
Yeah.
I obviously, the most recent basketball shit I consumed was The Last Dance. So this has got me thinking, though, if everyone's inside that bubble, that means all the games are in one spot, everything's close by. Yeah. You better fucking shoot the shit out of that with some documentary film crew because this is going to be
absolutely
the best 10-part ESPN. I mean, the Jordan shit was fire, but watching this, what unfolds down there, and I'm sorry I got 5 ideas at once, but you know, like at Olympic Village, they fuck like crazy, right?
Yeah, they fuck insane, bro.
Yeah, what is the NBA house going to be like? What is the NBA hotel going to be like?
Here's what's crazy. If you make it to the first round of the playoffs, you're allowed up to 3 guests. So it's like, that's when shit's really going to blow up. It's in the first round of the playoffs when these young cats are just like, yo, we got here. It's our championship. It's like, no, it's not your championship. You only made it to the first round of the playoffs. But they get 3 guests. That's when people are going to go wild. Then they're going to start
especially fucking. Especially because they're not going to bring like their family in. They're going to bring two people they can fuck.
Yes.
Oh, it's going to be 2 people they can fuck and 1 celebrity. It's going to be like a Toronto Raptors like fucking 15th man is going to have to invite Drake as one of it. Like the big ballers are going to be like, nah, you got to bring Drake, dude. I don't want to waste one of my guests on him or whatever.
It reminds me of like in high school when we used to go to tournaments and we all stay at the same hotel and like all watch games and all that stuff. And it was just chaos because you play somebody, you get in a fight with that person. And then you go see them at the hotel. Like, it's like, well, how do you deal with that?
You would like hunt them down at the pool, dude. I remember like soccer tournaments and shit. It'd be like, that motherfucker. Oh, Longwood's staying at the same hotel. Let's get those motherfuckers.
Yeah, we pull pranks on people and shit.
Yo, they should bring cheaters back for as part of this documentary. Y'all remember that show? They should bring that shit back.
That the host got stabbed on that show.
Did he?
Yeah, sense. I feel like the original host of that show. It might be I might be speaking out of turn here, but I believe he like confronted someone, ended up getting stabbed on camera. like his dude's like, funny. Nah, I wasn't cheating, yo, and just fucking put the shiv in him and got out of there.
Was that his last? That was his last shit too. He was like, you know what? I quit.
He's like, this is non-union. All right, I'm out of here.
Y'all ever seen that show? Fucking what was it called? Oh, damn it. Repo Games.
No, wait.
Oh, barely. I know barely what you're talking about. I can't remember it though.
Oh, this is my favorite show. Let me describe the show to you, Gabriel. It's amazing. Okay, so let's say you got a car, right, that you've been supposed to be paying bills on, and you haven't been paying for a few months.
I heard this from you.
A repo man shows up.
Yes.
Yes. A repo man shows up to your house and goes, all right, man, you haven't been paying your bills. We're going to take away your car. Or you can play this game show with me where you have to answer these questions. If you get three questions right, you get to keep your car. I'll pay it off for you. But if you get three questions wrong, I'm taking your car from you. And it's like... And obviously, these aren't like, you know, Harvard professors aren't getting their cars repo, if you know what I'm saying.
Like, you trying to say these dumb motherfuckers?
But I remember one time he did it, and then people started shooting at him, and I was like, yeah, yeah, they're shooting at you, bro. Like, you're fucking like. Yeah. You're coming into these people's neighborhoods and playing games with their livelihood. Like,
yo, I tell you what, in like 100 years, there's going to be a cultural study of America. And there's a period of time where we had TV shows about people competing to hold on to their own cars, competing to win money to pay off their college loans, competing to get food to feed their families. Shark Tank is people pitching businesses that will turn their lives around, people living in cars. We've like turned everything into entertainment in America. Like, it's like people are like, this is my last hope and dream. It's like, hold on, save that shit. We're going to shoot that. Let's take that again.
I bet you, Gabrus, if you and I put our heads together, we worked for like 3 days straight, we could come up with a solid pitch called Citizenship, where it's just like, it's just a bunch of like dudes just like, you know what I'm saying? Just like fighting like for their lives, doing these extreme challenges. And one of y'all going to be a citizen at the end of this. The other one's going back to like Slekolavia and like.
Damn.
It would be like going into a hospital waiting room and be like, all of you are uninsured. You guys will compete in American Gladiators, and the winner can have their surgery paid for by the production. And they're like fighting to death to get a fucking fucking herniated disc taken care of.
I'm telling you right now, I would love to be the host of that shit. I would love to be the host of that shit.
Yeah, that's the realest Hollywood shit ever, is that like
that shit would be amazing.
Describe some completely unethical situation and you're like, but if they asked me to do it, I would fucking
do it.
If the check clears.
Of course. Bro, that's how we all are. I remember like when I was in like film school, I was like, this is the kind of artist that I can be. And then I had to really sit down and think about some of the shit that I've done in my career. And obviously all the shows I've written for are dope. But some sketches and stuff that I've had to pitch for, like, marketing things or something like that, I'm like, this is trash. Like, fucking 19-year-old Edgar, who was watching fucking Apocalypse Now and being like, you're a fucking genius. You're going to be a genius like these guys. It's like, no, you're not, Edgar. You pitch jokes for Snickers' Twitter account. Like, fuck you. Like,
well, I said the same shit about COVID because me and my wife is immunocompromised, so we haven't done shit and we don't plan on doing shit. But if, like, fucking Superstore was like, yo, it's a U5 and Colton coughs in your face in it, I'm like, I'm in. What'd you say? Is it SAG? I'm in. Like, I'll be there in a heartbeat, dude. I'm like, I haven't seen my family, I haven't seen friends, I haven't seen shit, but if I got offered a gig, I'd be like, I'm in. And it's like, I don't even watch this show and I'm pumped to be fucking working. Like, that's how desperate this business is.
Yo, you gotta let Colton lick you in the face. <He's> like, And not just cough in your face, like put his mouth over your nose and cough. I'll do it.
Have y'all heard of these secret productions, man? Y'all heard about these secret productions that people are doing?
I know a friend who just shot. I have a friend who just shot something. I was like, a word? He's like, it's apparently legal. Like, it's non-union, so it's okay. He's like, and he's like shooting a fucking internet spot or whatever. I'm like, yo,
yeah,
be careful, dude.
Yo, motherfuckers, I know a couple of people who, for major companies.
Yes, Jaquise, I think we're talking about the same person.
Yeah. Major companies.
Offline.
And, yeah. And when I say major companies, whatever you're thinking, think more major. And niggas are working for those.
And on that production, a crew member had COVID and they had to quarantine the whole cast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And still had to work. They found out you might be exposed. It was like, all right, cool, go take a test, but come back to work. And then it was like, oh shit, you are exposed. Everybody got to cut out. This shit is wild. It's wild, bro. It's wild.
Dude, that shit killed me.
I just got a visual of some dude in like Knicks gear standing outside a hotel in Florida. A limo full of like bottle girls shows up and they got to get taking the temperature of all their foreheads and shit like to let them into the hotel. You think fucking Jordan's pizza was poisoned? Bro, people are going to get fucking... There's going to be some tomfoolery in the bubble.
Oh, bro.
Of course.
Oh, bro.
Why not? I would sneeze. If I was afraid of losing to a team, I would go and get COVID and sneeze on everybody I could. Damn. Like, I'm not...
Damn.
Why? I want to win. Win at all Damn. Costs.
If Damn. I learned anything from The Last Dance is that winning is all that matters, bro.
It's all that matters. This Yo, man was a sociopath, don't do that. And you love him, Jaquise. You love him. He's a sociopath, and you love him.
Hey, man, he won. But also, don't do that shit, because Donovan Mitchell had COVID and dropped like 50. You about to get these niggas the game of their lives when you make them sick. You know niggas play better when they sick.
Look, I'll say this, and you're not going to like this, Jaquise. That pizza story is bullshit. That shit did not happen.
I truly don't give a shit. It's entertainment.
I 100% believe he ate a pizza that made him sick, but I 100% believe that he had to spin that into I think something was poisoned, because he's like, I shouldn't have eaten the only place that delivered in Utah at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, the place that delivers at Utah at 2 in the morning is not going to be the best pizza, and if you're a top-level athlete, you probably can't have that fucking 24 hours before game time.
Yeah.
The dude probably and he was probably drinking and smoking fucking cigars. He's probably fucking...
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. But Gabrus, 6 people show up to deliver your pizza. You putting anything in your mouth?
No, fuck. If 6 people show up to deliver my pizza, I think I'm in a porno.
And he said, I'm going to eat this. And nobody around him was like, yo, Jordan, I don't think this is a good idea. Like, if 6 people showed up to deliver a pizza, 6.
And specifically, one of those people is your personal trainer, who's like, its only job is to keep you moving and keep you alive. He's like, yeah. A personal trainer nowadays wouldn't even let their fucking player eat a pizza at 2 in the morning. No less.
No.
One delivered by 6 guys twirling their mustaches. It's he opens the door and it's one short white guy and one tall black dude in a mailman outfit. And it's like, I think these might be Malone and Stockton. It's like, just eat the pizza, bro.
That shit's... But I mean, I know everybody's getting mad at Jordan for like all that like shit about like inspiring himself, but that happens all the time. Shaq had a story like that. Like, Shaq had a story that David Robinson came to his high school and like Shaq tried to get an autograph from him, and David Robinson was like, I ain't giving you no autograph. Like, basically calling him like a bitch or something like that. And that's why Shaq became the dominant monster that he was. And then everyone did their research and was just like, David Robinson has never been to Louisiana or your school in that time period that you're talking about, bro. Like, what the fuck are you? He's like, yeah, I just made that up to inspire myself.
Like, and also, like, David Robinson was like a fucking military pastor.
What a weird guy to hate a fucking he actually served in the military and
he's like a legitimate like faith man. And like, this nigga ain't mean to no goddamn teenager.
No.
He would be the last dude that would be mean to somebody.
But you need that mythos, bro. You need that mythos to carry you. Shaq needed that so he could become the beast that he was. But it was just bullshit.
You know what though? Let me ask you this. Let me ask you both this. As people who drink, and Edgar, you are someone who plays basketball. I played in high school too. I don't necessarily believe the food poison story. But I do believe that there is some type of, maybe he had alcohol poison and it wasn't just a hangover. Because you mean to tell me a professional athlete with access to NBA doctors couldn't get over a hangover 24 hours later? Like, we've played with fucking hangovers 6 hours later.
Yeah.
And sweated that shit out.
What time was the game, though? What time was the game? I don't remember what time
the game was. It was the NBA Finals game, so it was like 7 p.m.
Yeah, I think
7 p.m., yeah.
I think he ate a bad pizza. Like, it wasn't like, he had like food poisoning. He wasn't poisoned necessarily, but if you start drinking, eat a random pizza at 2 in the morning from a fucking, the only place that's open, like, if that part's even true, it doesn't, no matter what the truth is,
he did some stupid shit.
He did something stupid, and exactly, and he's going to spin it to not be that dumb. Like, he's gonna spin it to be like, I ordered a pizza. It's like, what situation are you in as a professional athlete in the middle of a playoff that you're up at 2 in the morning? It's not, you're in a not smart situation to begin with, right? Like, we saw how he pops a fucking 18-inch long cigar in his mouth the second he walks off the court. Dude isn't making the healthiest decisions. That cigar is mad specific. It's like,
it's mad big, mad specific. The moment I saw his white assistant line for him, I was just like, I've seen this before. This is the same shit with OJ. You got. That's why you have that white boy in your crew who's gonna fucking lie for you, bro. Like, I was like, I've seen this before.
The dude who talks to the cops for you. That's who.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta.
Damn.
Yeah. OJ had, what was that dude's name that lived on OJ's property that was in the kimono?
Cato. He's like, Cato, you answer the door if the cops come. He's like, yeah, I know. He's like, no, but for real, this time it might be some heat.
This is Gabriel. Are you that white person for anybody?
Well, here's the thing. I don't have exactly I should be talking to the cops face or attitude either. That's my problem.
Or energy,
like,
yeah.
I'm not like mellow enough for that situation. So even me, I think at my friends they would even be like, yo, let's send one of the black dudes. Like, Gabriel's gonna make this way worse. But I have racist face.
It's
so like
true.
those dudes fucking like the fucking neck beard Hawaiian shirt machine gun guys, I feel like I could go communicate to those guys and be like, start swinging. I think I want to start swinging on people more. I want to start fucking just open. If I ever run into one of those motherfuckers in my neighborhood of West Hollywood, but if I ever do, I'm throwing hands on a guy even if he has an AR-15.
Can I say something, man? Like, I feel real bad for Tommy Bahamas that they're going to have to release a statement about these guys. Like, it's just such a weird, like, you don't, well, it was the other thing before, too, the fucking Perry, what is his name? Something.
Wait,
Perry,
a minute.
That makes the...
I'm showing you my closet.
Look at all these Hawaiian shirts.
I'm fucked, bro. I'm fucked. I'm fat. I have a beard, and I fucking wear Hawaiian shirts. I look like these fucking guys.
Wait a minute, Tommy Bahamas. Did I miss some shit? What happened,
bro? You don't know about the Boogaloo?
The Boogaloos are wearing Hawaiian shirts, bro.
There's so much to keep up with.
it's these white nationalist terrorists that are like wearing these Hawaiian shirts and going and trying to like fight off protesters with like AKs and shit like that. And their choice of uniform is Tommy Bahama shirts.
Yeah, it's like a Hawaiian shirt with like the fucking like tactical gear on top of it. It's truly, people are just living out their Call of Duty avatar shit. Like, they're just like character designing on themselves, but it looks a lot cooler on like a fucking shredded 6'2" guy with stubble, like a Statham looking motherfucker, instead on these guys who all look like Gabrus on a bender.
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, because the same shit happened with the Proud Boys with that one guy who was like that punk rock designer who had those polos, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, Proud Boys took them and ours started wearing them, and then he had to release a statement and be like, yo, or I guess he's dead, but his family released a statement where they're like, yo, we don't do that. Like, that's not what this company was started on. And now Tommy Bahamas is going to do that shit. But I just wish that they would like get into something like random, like, yo, we only eat at Islands. And then, like, Islands would have to drop a statement of, like, Islands believes Black Lives Matter. Like.
What if they only ate at, like, Popeyes or some shit? Would you stop eating Popeyes? No.
I still eat Chick-fil-A. I don't ride with that shit. I still eat Chick-fil-A.
Oh, we already know. I already know.
Oh, you can't... the problem with going with any large business ever is that they have fucking destruction in their wake. Like, any corporation has just done, whether it's shit to their workers, to the causes that they support. Like, at that level, you're like, what am I going to just... yes, I understand, but I do want an iPhone, Nikes, and a fried chicken sandwich right now. Like, yes. I understand, like, it's shit is brutal, but, like, I don't have many options. I don't have many options right now.
Also, we don't talk about the fact that a lot of these businesses are individually owned, right? Like, you're just buying the franchise from somebody. So, like, the Chick-fil-A on Sunset... that everyone's just like, yo, don't eat there, is literally run by queer black men. Like, it's just like, yo, we going, like, that's who you, I remember when everybody was like, yo, let's protest Uber, so, you know, to, like, fight for immigrant rights. And I was like, the only person that you're hurting by protesting Uber is fucking immigrants who have to, like, that's their only job.
Right. Yeah, because Uber shut down a taxi fucking industry. Yeah. So all them niggas are like, well, fuck, I guess I'll drive Uber now. And now they're like, damn, don't none of y'all niggas need rides?
Now I got to put a pink mustache on my fucking Prius? Fine.
I'll bike you somewhere if you need. Damn. Yeah,
I'm one of those psychopaths that that talks to Uber drivers. And
oh, you've ruined it for the rest of us, bro.
It is like... man, it is every stereotype you've ever, like, thought, like, in, like, those, like, immigrant movies of, like, I was talking to this one dude, he's like, yeah, I'm an astrophysicist. And I was like, yo, this is crazy. This is crazy that you are driving Uber. Like, that's how much our country doesn't respect other countries. This dude's like, I'm an astrophysicist, but this is the only job I could get out here.
Bro, it's fucking wild, dude.
I get picked up in a regular Uber X or whatever it's called in a fucking Tesla one time. And I was just so confused, man. I was so confused. Because this is a nice, obviously, it's a nice-ass car. And I got to talking to this dude. And he was just like, yeah, I'm just doing this for a month because I need a little bit of extra money for some shit I'm trying to, like, buy. And I was like, what? Like, this dude literally is just driving Uber for 1 month, he said. Because he has something he wants to buy he just needed to make a little extra money for. I don't remember what he, I don't think he told me what it was, but I was just like, this is the wildest shit I've ever heard.
Was he white?
He was Armenian. Is that white? I don't know what Armenian is. I don't know what Armenian is.
Yeah.
I think Armenian is white.
Well, here's what I've been learning. Well, here's what I've always thought. And then I think I see a lot of people learning on the timeline. I think it's up to Armenians to decide. Right?
No, we can't say that. No, that's not true. Because then you're going to get white people. It's like, oh, it's up to us to decide? Shit, all right, then yeah.
Well, I mean, it would be pretty bold of an Armenian to be like, no, you can call me black. But I think they can say, they got to say, we don't consider ourselves white.
Okay, because, that's fair.
But that shit gets fucking... I've been abusing that, not abusing that shit, but I've heard that shit abused countlessly from, like, my grandparents and shit are like, Italians, we were discriminated against when we first got here. And I was like, yeah, but things got way better for us. And we got here after the other people who are currently being discriminated against. Like, we got here 100 years after black people.
But they're not wrong, though.
Yeah, they're not wrong, but everyone's so self-centered that they can't see. Like, yes. They're like, and I'm like, I agree, but it's over for you now. So, like... like, Patton Oswalt has that, and this is getting so corny, but Patton Oswalt has that, like, analogy he does about Hollywood, where a lot of people want to get into Hollywood and then close the door behind them, where the real good people in Hollywood, when they get in, they leave their foot jammed in the door. Maybe they don't get to go as far, but they get to let other people in behind them. And it's like, if you're... like, everyone who's like, well, my life is hard because of blank. It's like, I'm from a poor family too. It's like, yeah, fine. But, like, fuck all that. And just don't you want to help someone who's been in the situation that you're describing that you were used to be in? Like, you have the opportunity to fix that. That's the shit that bothers
me. Not to get too deep on this pod, you know what I'm saying? Because we're supposed to be talking shit and being wild. But, like, I think that for me, it's just like I wish that more people recognize that part of like the Italian story, in that in exchange for you guys to like have a good time here, you have to basically shed your Italianness. And like that is like the entire disease of whiteness to me, is that so much of it is like ignore your culture. And I think that people don't realize that that's a pervasive thing that can happen to anyone of any gender, ethnicity, like, or like race. Like, it's just like they'll allow you in. You just got to not be who you are anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't want you to be Italian. They don't want you to celebrate being Italian. They don't want you to celebrate being Irish or Swedish. It's just like, no, you're a white American now. And like, that's what I think is so fucked up about it all. And it's like, we got to like go back to celebrating those parts of ourselves and that heritage of ourselves, because that's what makes us strong as a nation. But then they were just like, nah, man, fuck that. Nah, you know what, Italians? We seen what y'all were doing with the mob. You know, that's real powerful and shit. How about y'all do that shit for us? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like that's essentially what happened. Like, right. the mob was created because Italians were being discriminated against. And they were like, yo, we need a whole power for ourselves. And then America was just like, yo, here's how we're going to destroy this. Let them into the club. And it's the same thing they did with the Black Panthers. They looked to some Black Panthers and it was just like, yo, come into the club and fuck everybody else. And they took it. Like, it's just like, how do we tell everyone to stop fucking with that, like, that power structure? Because again, I truly believe that whiteness is something that anybody of any race, any ethnicity, any religion, anything can be invited into. We see it with Kanye West. We see it with Jay-Z. You can get Candace invited Owen. Regardless of the color. Candace Owen, you can get invited and then you forget about your shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's why I think like with that Italian thing is just like, yes, we agree with you. So go back to like, you know, go back to your roots. Like, go back to speaking like Italian and having like parades and all this stuff.
Yeah. And then, but the problem is the most vocal people saying that shit too are like fourth generation who just like are using it to as a fucking club for the less fortunate. Yeah. And that's
absolutely
bullshit.
And lost and their like, roots. Well, like, don't celebrate any other part of being an Italian except for that bullshit statement.
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm talking. Oh, you're so, it's like, you can't have a chicken parm hero and then say, my ancestors were discriminated. We were called WOPs. It's like, that shit is gone, dude. Relax.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So the NBA bubble in Orlando.
Bro. Yo, that's them being invited into whiteness, you know what I'm saying? In the NBA bubble.
Hey, Kyrie Irving really feels that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So wait a minute. I barely read on what Kyrie Irving is saying, but he's basically saying like y'all just kill him. What is he saying, Edgar?
His whole argument is, don't y'all think that it's a little weird that right as we were all starting to revolt, they were just like, yo, get the NBA back. Like, that's his whole argument, is that don't y'all think it's a little weird that they're going to get our focus away and people are going to start focusing on this thing? And then it's a very tough, weird position, man. I don't know. I've been watching a lot of shit about it, a lot of YouTube videos, and this one guy was describing that, like, he thinks that Kyrie Irving is right if, like, this is a distraction. But if the players walk away, it's going to nullify the collective bargaining agreement right now, and it's going to fuck the NBA up for years, like years and years and years if these players try to walk out. Because right now, the collective bargaining agreement is so player-friendly in a way that is, like, insane, that this will give the owners so much leverage. And I was like, damn, this system is fucked. This system is fucked. These guys have to, like, literally pick between standing up for what's right now or fucking over an entire system that's like pretty friendly to like black, you know, employees forever. Like, it's like such a fuck choice.
Mm. Right.
In a bubble too.
And a bubble. And you also got to stay in a hotel.
Yeah.
Right. And he ain't even in the playoffs. So that nigga staying at a, you know, a Holiday Inn.
Well, he's not even going. He said he's not even invited because he's injured. Mm.
Well, that's the thing too. Like the race shit is one thing of like this will calm everybody down. But there's also like this is more. You could be afraid for your own well being in a situation like this, in a pandemic, in a state that's like skyrocketing right now, and you'll be in this accelerated mode of like around more people, and like you're like Jackie said earlier, you're gonna trust like people who live in millionaire palaces to be like, yeah, I'll hang out in my hotel room. Like, the craziest part of the Jordan doc was watching him just like sitting on those whack ass Holiday Inn couches, like smoking a cigar and shit. Like, I'm like, oh, it's the, I can't picture major celebrities living like that now. And so it's like, who would want to fucking get strapped into the fucking Holiday Inn or the Hampton Inn down in Orlando? And so I would be so scared if this was, but like so many things in life, it's such a major opportunity, and there's like lines and lines of people behind them to just take over and be like, fine, you don't want to do this, but like you got to be a little scared for your own well being, and like. These people got families and shit. Like, they can't stay with their families. Their families come with them, and then their families are at risk. Everyone's families are at risk. It's just a sketchy-ass situation.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, man, and then and then on top of it, put this shit of the current racial climate that we're currently in, and that layer of, like, get them playing basketball. That'll keep everyone distracted. It will be, like, opiate for the masses just to have something to be distracted by. And I guess maybe if you're a government official, you're like, maybe at least while a game is on, protests will slow down or some shit. But
yeah, I mean,
that's fucked up too.
Let me ask you this. Edgar, what would you choose? Game 7 of the NBA Finals or a Black Lives Matter rally?
It'd be dope to go to that rally and it's just all white people.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. I was going to ask, where is this rally? Because I've been to a couple of these marches and some are very dope black experiences and some are white people just making up for Coachella. So I really need you to tell me which kind of rally this is. Like, I need more specifics.
Okay. More specifics. Yeah. All right. Now, this is game 7 of the NBA Finals and Kevin Durant is in it. It's next year. Is the Brooklyn Nets versus the Los Angeles Clippers, right? That's the NBA Finals, Game 7. And the Black Lives Matter rally is an official Black Lives Matter rally. But you know, it's in North Hollywood.
No, I'm not going to that. I'm going to the game. In North Hollywood?
But it's the last one of the year. You know what I'm saying? It's the last one of the year. It's the big blowout.
The fight never ends, Jaquise. The fight never ends. There'll be another fight tomorrow. There'll be more protests tomorrow. There's only one game 7. There'll be more protests. Just pray. I just pray that while I'm in that game, nobody gets killed by the police.
All right, Gabriel, where you going? You going to the rally or you watching? You don't even watch basketball. Yeah. Where you going? You going to the rally or you watching game 7?
You better go to that rally.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of factors at play here. Brooklyn versus LA, those are the two places I lived in the last 15 years of my life.
That's what I'm saying.
It sounds perfect. Okay, secondly, I am talking to two black guys are currently asking me the question. So
Okay, fair.
I'll get one like dramatic black and white photo taken of me holding a sign and then just fucking sprint out.
I'll be there when it starts and make sure I can catch the second quarter on of the game till game 7.
My favorite thing that I've seen from the protest is that Ron Funches sent out his white assistant to go to the protest for him. Did y'all see that?
That was mad funny. Great. And her sign was like, my boss is black and he sent me to say Black Lives Matter.
That shit killed me, son.
That's mad funny. That is mad funny. And he was posting it to his Instagram like a cat. And there's so many layers at play there where you're like, is this, am I supposed to be mad? I don't think so. Someone's going to get mad. I can't explain why, but I love it. And whoever's getting mad, that's fun that they're getting mad. It's the perfect kind of fucking prank. Layers. Yeah.
A lot of layers to that one.
I love it. I am interested. I will tell you, if the NBA season comes back, and it comes back in this basically high school tournament way that is talking about coming back, where everybody is staying in one fucking area at Disney World, Orlando, wherever the fuck they're staying. I think the best idea that I've heard all week so far, and granted it's only Monday, is they should documentize this shit. Because, and like, give us the full foot. Like, don't let the NBA touch it at all. Like, let Uninterrupted or some shit document
documentarian.
Yeah. I want Uninterrupted
though. Yes,
I want like
exactly,
Hard Knocks level depth. Sorry, I'm screaming.
Yeah, because Uninterrupted is like, you know, made by LeBron James, so it's like,
That's true. That's true. So, you know, that's his
give us
spin
like
machine.
Yeah, you're right. Hard Knocks, man. Like something that's just like no spin. We're just gonna see what the fuck is happening, and we can see.
Give it to the fucking Last Dance crew. Give it to whoever made The Last Dance. They could shoot. They know shit about basketball. Like fucking get them in there. Uh-oh.
Gabriel, you're not gonna like me for this, man. I fucked with The Last Dance until the last 10 minutes. I was just like, this is a fucking Jordan spin. Like, I was like, there's so much footage that we're not getting. Because the way that it justifies it at the end with that fucking rock song playing at the end, it was like, everything that I did, I'd do it again. I was like, fuck, this is not a good documentary. This is not a good documentary if the subject can basically go, like, imagine if you were watching a documentary about fucking, what's that nigga's name? Dick Cheney. And at the end, a rock song starts playing. It's like, da-da-da-da-da. He's like, I'll do it all again, baby. I'll do it all again because I know I did the right. You'd be like, fuck this documentary. This is not actually examining the person.
I think you're saying, equating Dick Cheney, a famously bad guy, with Michael Jordan, a complicated figure. I'm not calling him a good guy.
Famously bad guy.
I think it's unfair to say he's a bad guy in a way Dick Cheney is. No, I know you like to jab at the things I like, Edgar, but you get off on it. But like,
Dick Cheney was a vice president, and he was terrible at it. Michael Jordan was a basketball player, and he was fucking amazing at it.
hold on. I think if you look at Dick Cheney's goals,
if Dick Cheney played basketball,
I think
he's
pretty
good
at being a politician. Cheney's pretty good.
I backpedal.
Like what he did, but he accomplished exactly what he set out to accomplish. Jordan, where like Jordan would walk into a game and be like, yo, I'm going to dunk on you. Dick Cheney would walk into the UN and be like, I'm going to bomb you.
He did it. He fucking did it.
He accomplished what he set out to accomplish.
Fuck, dude. Yeah.
The most powerful vice president in our lifetime.
In history.
In history. This nigga was the president.
But I still thought the documentary didn't cover as much as bad side, but it was more about the Jordan. The documentary was about like the Jordan phenomena, not about the man, yes. Really. So it's like, yeah. I get it. They showed a little bit of his dirty laundry, but they did let him have the final say of like, nah, it had nothing to do with gambling. It's like, okay.
Yeah. it's like
the cops going.
That's all I'm saying.
I get it though. Because
it's like the cops saying, we investigated. We didn't do shit.
Yeah.
It's like,
but the whole thing was, like, this shit wasn't gonna be made unless he gave the okay. Like, this shit wasn't gonna be made unless they gave the okay. So it baffled me that people thought that it was gonna be an indictment on Jordan when it's just like, this nigga sat on this for 18 years before he said go ahead and do it. And the only reason he said go ahead and do it is after LeBron came back from 3-1 in the finals. He was like, you know what? Release those motherfucking tapes. Niggas gotta know. Like, of course it was gonna be about him.
I'm glad they waited until fucking iPads existed so that we could watch Jordan watch clips. That shit was such... I've not seen that. I've been on Talking Head shows, worked in Talking Head shows, watched countless documentaries. That's a device you haven't seen yet, or at least it's going to be now, I think. But getting to see Jordan's live reaction to fucking audio and video and stuff, that shit was awesome.
Yeah, that was...
It was great.
That was funny.
It was great. I don't want an indictment, Jaquise. I just want a little bit more introspection. That's it. Just a little bit of him being like, you know what? I see it now. But the man truly back down. He doesn't.
He doesn't see it, though.
That's the problem. Like, you need to talk to five more people. This man saw six things, and they were all rings. Like, that's all that he saw.
That's all he saw.
MVPs. Dude, the fucking... In that doc, the device where they would show the score of the game, and it'd be like 98-96 Bulls. You're like, wow. And then just a little fade up that's like Michael Jordan 33 points or Michael Jordan 41 points. You'd be like, holy shit. My man scoring so fucking... And you know that. And then seeing it just played back to back to back. Also, I haven't really seen a documentary that I was alive for all of. You know what I mean? Like, I think that was that's part true. Of it for yeah. me, too, was, like, I was the Like Mike kid. Like, I was the Like Mike generation. Like, the green Gatorade in a glass bottle, like Jordan had in the commercial, was, like, a dream come true for me.
Couldn't and find like, that shit. Couldn't find that shit in the stores.
No. I remember asking for it like it was, like, I was asking my mom to buy me fucking champagne. I'd be like, Mom, can you please get Gatorade? She'd be like, I found this blue juice at the deli. It's like, no, no, please let me have Gatorade. I need it. I'm going to be, if I drink Gatorade, I'll be so fast and strong and able to dunk and shit.
I found this blue juice. I found this little huggy. Be satisfied. Be satisfied.
What did you guys call those? You called it a little huggy or you talk, like, we're talking about the same shit, right? Yeah, we called them quarter waters.
I called them quarter drinks or little huggies.
Little huggies. I have not
quarter
heard that
jugs.
One. Quarter jugs?
Jugs.
Yeah, okay.
You put the quarter in and then you drink them, right? That's what we're talking about, right?
The quarter yeah. water? That's what we called it. They were yeah, like, it's, quarter it's little plastics.
This has so many names regionally.
Yeah, and it's just like blue, red, orange, green, like whatever. Like you peel back the little tin foil and slam it down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right.
We
yeah,
didn't do quarters.
Flavors.
We didn't even do quarters. We just bit that shit with our teeth and like just drank. Like you just bite a little bit, oh, just yeah. bite a hole with your teeth and fucking drink.
That's just efficient. Go. That's efficient as fuck.
Just that's go. The stone cold of quarter waters right there. Smash two together.
Just smash them together. That's great. I love it. I want to do that shit now.
What is, like, while we're just fucking spitballing, what does other sports look like? Are we going to, I mean, like, a lot of them
MLB
just
announced
once.
Right now.
Oh, they did.
MLB just announced right now they're coming back.
Oh, shit. We're
camp to start on July 1st.
Shit, we're recording this on June 22nd. Don't know when this episode's coming out, but holy shit.
Which is
shit.
So funny because literally 12 hours ago, 40 players and staff from MLB tested for COVID. And then less than a day later, you know what? That's
it's
a good
on.
Number. Let's come back.
Game on, boys.
How many was it? 40?
40. 40.
Just 40? All right, cool. 40. Let's do it.
40 players. Oh, 40? That's it? That's what 30 teams? That's a player team. All right, cool, cool, cool.
Are they doing any sort of new season, like playing in like one section of the...
They're only going to do... MLB is only going to do like a 60-season season.
60-game
season. Because, yeah. like, here's the thing. Like, football will be fine if they come back when they do. But baseball, you can't fuck up the schedule. You can't start the season now and then play 162 games. That would literally fuck the baseball schedule up for the rest of time. So,
right, right.
Yeah.
And they would be playing into winter for the rest of time. So, like, they have to play, like, a 40-game season and then do the playoffs as scheduled, which is going to be wild. It's not going to be – sports are going to look like this in America, at least. Nobody in the audience – pretty much. There's going to be, you know how there's like an injured list or the DL or some shit? There's going to be a COVID list now. Anybody who... and you're going to see forfeited games, I think.
Oh, wow. I was thinking the same thing. Like at the start of the game, it's going to be like, Tom Brady, 2 weeks, shoulder, so-and-so, 14 days, COVID-19.
It's yeah. Like,
yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, you don't get that. And if somebody tests and like tests positive... then that team isn't going to be able to play
yeah,
bro,
forfeit
the
game,
next
like
couple games. So Belichick, they're going to forfeit games.
Belichick is going to fucking get COVID to like all the opposing team's big players and quarterbacks and shit. My man's going to be in there with yeah. his sleeveless sweatshirt on fucking poisoning top athletes around the world. So, oh, another forfeit. I guess you don't have your fucking quarterback for this game. I almost said
oh,
match.
Well.
What the fuck? Yeah, oh, well, bro.
And we know he murders people, bro. He murdered Aaron Hernandez.
Damn. Damn.
Damn.
I saw the Netflix documentary. Actually, you know what's crazy? I finished that documentary, and then I said, you know what? Let me throw on Dave Chappelle's special. And I threw on Dave Chappelle's special, and then I was like, oh, this is very funny. I'm going to tweet about how funny I think the special is. And I went on Twitter, and it was like, Kobe Bryant has died. And I was like, damn, I'm never watching a documentary about Aaron Hernandez ever again.
Wait a minute. I zoned out. You said you were watching the Dave Chappelle special.
I didn't zone
no.
out, and it doesn't make any sense.
I'll say it to you again. I was watching Aaron Hernandez.
Uh-huh.
This special. I was in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And then I said... I finished it. It was very dark, and I was depressed. And I said, oh, man, I remember that Dave Chappelle special that he recorded in San Francisco. Let me watch that.
Oh, for what it's worth.
And then watching it.
I get
And I was
it
like,
now.
Yo, this is funny. Let me tweet about it. And I opened up Twitter. And then the first thing I saw on Twitter was Kobe Bryant has died. And I said, damn, I'm never watching this Aaron Hernandez documentary ever again.
Okay, I get it now. I get it now. So basically what you're saying is Dave Chappelle and Aaron Hernandez killed Kobe Bryant.
I'm just saying, I don't think it's a coincidence that I watched the Aaron Hernandez doc. And then I said, let me watch some Dave Chappelle. And you could text Josh Breckus. He was with me. And
this is Edgar's cue.
And then Kobe died. And then I said, hey, Josh, Kobe Bryant died. And Josh said, shut the fuck up. You're ruining the special.
Damn.
And then Kobe Bryant did die.
Damn.
Oh, you said it before he died?
Yeah, I said it before.
Damn. So, yo, Josh, Kobe's dead. He's like, shut the fuck up. We're watching a special. And then,
yeah,
like, an hour
later.
Yeah,
like, it is wild because Kobe did die, like, at 9 in the morning. So, what the fuck was you doing watching Dave Chappelle and Aaron Hernandez at 9 in the morning? So
I wake up early as fuck. I wake up at, like, 7 a.m. every day. Even when I'm out of town doing comedy shows, I still wake up at 7 a.m.
I actually know that it was early because it was, and this was, this I could tell was pre-COVID times. It was after my kung fu class in the park. Someone grabbed their phone and was like, holy shit, Kobe Bryant has died. And like 20 of the guys in my Jeet Kune Do class were all standing around discussing the death of Kobe Bryant and all that shit. It was intense.
Dang, I didn't just start fighting.
Well, it's funny. I'm like, I was only doing it for like 2 months, so I barely know anyone. And people are like, damn, it's like, and it's getting kind of real because a lot of them are like LA natives and locals and shit. And I'm like,
yeah,
it's weird. And I'm like, well, guys, I'm going to leave karate class and I'll see you guys next week. <I'm> like,
I feel that. I went down to the hotel lobby and everybody was crying. And I was like, oh, this is crazy.
It's crazy. I don't even like, again, like, I don't watch basketball, and I'm a Knicks fan my whole life, and I felt so affected by that.
Honestly, the only reason the Kobe story died is because niggas was like, oh shit, COVID is here. Like, that's how long it lasted. It was the longest lasted
right
celebrity death in the past since Michael Jackson, probably. Where
you're
people
right.
were
in
talking
LA
about
especially.
It. In LA, like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
the NBA shut down, and it was like, oh, shit, COVID is here. And then
right.
shit got weird.
I didn't even think about it. Yeah, if COVID and, I was going to say, if COVID never came and police brutality wasn't an issue, but we unfortunately know what the case is with that, we would still be talking about Kobe. Like,
oh,
here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, even if police brutality was still going, we used to be talking Kobe. I'll say this, without COVID, there's none of this Black Lives Matter shit happening right now. Like, that's just, without
not
COVID, McDonald's is not tweeting out Black Lives Matter without COVID.
Yeah, well, it's a weird confluence of events that the movement is benefiting from people who have activist mindsets being very available right now.
Yes.
Like, and it's
yes.
like, and also anger towards authority because of how I feel like even white people who don't think about police brutality at all or have no connection to talking to the Black community whatsoever at least know that something above us is fucking us over down here. Like,
yes.
And it's like,
yes.
And it's like, oh, and then it's all connected and it's all not. And I'm not trying to make anything seem like it's as important or less important or whatever, but it is this weird power versus non-power. And all of a sudden you start to be like, well, what the fuck is going on? And then we all have the time to talk, and we're all talking to each other, and we're all able to log online and read. Mm-hmm. When no one's working, no one's like, I don't have time for this shit. I got to get it. I'm on deadline. Yeah. Everybody's just like, yeah.
It's a reason LA was like, we need to send these niggas back to work. Let's open it up.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Like, let's open it up.
Never.
Everything. Open up.
And not only back to work, I'll say, Jackie, because you're right, but it's also like, oh, let's let them eat brunch. That'll cool them out. Like, I truly believe it's like, let's get them to go into clubs again. Let's get them going to bars again. And them being young people and maybe even them being Black people in the government. Like, if they're just bored. Like, that was the argument. Everyone's just bored. So then,
yeah.
like, all right, everything's open, LA. Go nuts. And everyone's like, haha, we're not falling for this shit, motherfucker. We're still outside Jackie's house. We're still outside your house, Garcetti.
It's wild. Like, California went from being the most populous state doing pretty good on the COVID shit. Like, numbers were kind of low. They were going down. Talking about we weren't going to open up till mid-July to, like, opening up the entire fucking state in 2 weeks.
The night that restaurants opened in L.A. was the night that the protests were the hottest, right? Like, whatever that was. Like, when shit popped off the most. And that's where they were like, you guys can eat at a restaurant, please. It's like, nah, dude, we're too late. We're in these streets.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you're fucked up, Gabe, for trying to make that connection, because I think if you think about it, people always give the state, and I mean the state as in government, the benefit of the doubt. Like, we're always just like, well, you know, the government's going to have our best interest in hand. And then seeing how hard the government fucked us up and knowing that it is only an American problem, like, people were making the argument for a while of just like, well, every country fucked up. Nah. This country fucked up in a very specific, only it did way. Like, when you're less like, and again, obviously Africa is like, you know, a continent with a lot of great countries and all that stuff, and like, they're very well established. But when people have that mindset who are fucking racist and they go, damn, even African countries are like doing better than us on COVID, that's when it made everyone realize, okay, the state has problems, so that everyone can latch onto this shit.
These fucking rabid patriots who love the American state, like, when America isn't winning, then what are you being patriotic about? Being in last place about shit? Like, you're just pumped that we have the Olympics and we win Olympics and have good movies? No, like, the country fucking, other countries are doing better than us. That was our big pride, at least, no matter how fucked up we were towards each other. Our country was always like, hey, at least we're fucking in the best country. And now we're making a case where it's like, are we? And we're fucking it's certainly not the best country for a lot of people who live here. It's a fucking nightmare.
I don't know. It's the best country for me. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, man. I mean, I'm prospering.
I'm not going to do much better than this.
Yeah. There's not another country. You know how hot Africa is, nigga? You know how hot it is over there? Shit.
Oh, I love this place.
You're not going to catch me moving anywhere that doesn't have fucking Taco Bell within driving distance.
Within driving distance,
McDonald's in Paris is trash, bro. I'm staying right here.
You can't catch me in Paris with that trash-ass McDonald's.
Like, I can't get no IHOP pancakes over in motherfucking London, you know?
No, and they probably call it something stupid too, like Flappy Jack or something stupid like that. Like,
nigga, I don't want no motherfucking flapjack. I want a pancake, nigga.
Give me a pancake, nigga.
I want no pigs in a blanket. I want some sausage and I want some pancakes.
Yeah. English people dumb as hell, man.
Give me a pancake N-word. Seems like it's going to be in a Quentin Tarantino movie anytime.
It's going to be in his last movie. Samuel Jackson going to open up the movie. Give me a pancake, nigga.
This is a waffle. I said.
Oh, shit.
Guys, thank Culture Kings. Thank you for coming on High and Mighty, man. This was fun. It was good catching up. I miss running into people.
Yeah, bro, this was fun. Thanks for having us.
Well, tell the people listening a little about Culture Kings and about the Stitcher Premium series you guys are doing now too.
Culture Kings, Earwolf. Yeah, man, this is a show. We talk pop culture. We talk comedy. We talk whatever we want. You know, we had some pretty dope guests. You were a guest. We just had Yvonne
Dope
Orgy.
Guest, great theme song.
Dope guest. Oh, man, theme song is dope. Yeah, man, just come listen to the show if you want to, you know, laugh a little bit. You know, listen to two homies chat with some dope people. And then our Stitcher Premium, which is called The Kingdom. You know, back in the day when we were pumping out 2 and 3 episodes a week, which it led to extreme boredom on me and Edgar's part, we just decided to fucking just start doing wild ass episodes and taking big swings and shit. And it led to some really fun ass episodes of just like black soap operas or a church parody or stupid fun shit. And so The Kingdom is, you know, just kind of bringing back some of the classic stuff that people liked from back in the day, hitting them with a little flavor of that every once in a while. So that's
a great
that's
greatest
what
hits
is.
From the backlog on Stitcher Premium now.
But they're new episodes. They're not old.
They're new episodes. They're not old episodes. So
revisiting those.
We're bringing
formats,
back those formats. Yeah, because we realized that we came up with all these great formats, but now that, you know, we're in this new, much more efficient, much less boring run of like one a week. And like, I'm pretty sure just like you, we record like four in a day and just like and sit back and relax. So we're just like, let's bring back some of those formats that are really fun. Like, you know, we did like a draft of like races of like, we could like, you know, have everybody draft their favorite people from the black race and stuff like that, which, you know, now in retrospect, I'm like, you know, maybe we shouldn't have done that. But
it was always all black people. It was always all black.
It was always all black people. We never let a white person draft.
I was about to say, in retrospect, I shouldn't have done that on a previous episode of High and Mighty.
Yeah.
I mean, the closest I got myself into hot water was doing Edgar's podcast, The Wokest, and pitching my very woke idea.
That was a very funny idea, bro.
Trying to cancel me.
That was a very funny idea. It was that people should do work, right? It was like that everyone should work at least 1 year in a job, but then I quickly was just like, all right, let's put it in an all black high school and see you trying to tell these kids to go work for free.
And I think even Edgar painted me into a corner where he was describing, okay, so you have one of the black students standing on a stage and you're demonstrating what, and it's like he put me literally in a slave market. I was like, oh fuck, Edgar, okay. You're gonna get me. Like sweating. Oh, uh-huh, man. Okay, I can improvise around this.
Love it. Love it.
Check out the Culture Kings wherever you listen to this podcast. It's there. Go to Stitcher Premium to listen to The Kingdom. I'll have you guys tagged in the tweets and Instagrams about this. But anything else you guys want to plug? Anything else you guys are working on here? I know, Jackie, are you rocking a Patreon right now?
I am not. I put that on hold because a lot of the I have like 7 or 8 episodes backlogged. But a lot of the things that I had planned are just more fun when I can actually be in the room with the person. So I was just like, why give myself more work and do more remote editing? I can wait.
And so can the shitheads of High and Mighty. They can wait to hear that too. They'll be pumped to fucking join your Patreon.
Yes.
Edgar, anything?
Yeah, man, I would say check out The Wokest. You know, it's also on Stitcher Premium. Everybody says that 3 of the episodes were their favorite, and it was, no, 4. Open Mic Eagle, The Boys, Io, and you, man. So I think, like, you know, check out the show. Like, you know, it's a really, really dope, fun show where we kind of just
Stitcher
talk
Premium.
About the...
Check out
it's
Wokest.
It's on Stitcher Premium.
Check out Kingdom. Check out the Gino Lombardo show and like pay us all a little homage there.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely,
use the promo
man.
Code Kings. Use the promo code Kings.
Yes. Of course.
I mean, you could also use the promo code Wokest. But you know, yeah, use code Kings.
And no. Use promo code Kings.
And you spell Kings G-I-N-O, I believe. I believe Kings is spelled G-I-N-O.
Oh, man.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
No doubt, man. Thanks for having us.
No doubt. Thank you for having me.
Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.